This is Clark Howard on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Hey, welcome back to the Clark Howard Show. I'm Elise Glenn sitting in for Clark today. Ellen, I'm hearing a little echo in my ear, if you wouldn't mind fixing that. Thank you very much. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, online all the time, the website thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. If you're not following me on Twitter, you are missing half the conversation. So I tweet during the show. It's very interactive. You can find me at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K, and happy to have you join us there as well. Well, I want to start with something that's happened this morning. USDA this morning slashed the U.S. corn crop estimate. It also cut the estimates for the soybean crop. We've seen in the last couple of weeks that corn futures have just hit all kinds of highs. And again, this morning, corn futures set an all-time record high because the government slashed the size of the crop. And, you know, we are the world's top grains exporter. But we're seeing wacky weather really affect corn prices, soybean prices. But really what we're seeing is the beginning of what I think will be the most expensive Christmas or Thanksgiving that you've ever put on. The reason is that, you know, as you drive through the Midwest and then you get into our grain belt, what you see is corn that's not nearly as high as an elephant's eye. You're seeing corn that isn't even close to the elephant's kneecap. And when you think about how hot and dry the summer's been, and in fact, July is the new record heat, hottest month on record, you realize that this kind of withering of 63 or 64% of the corn crop really starts to affect all kinds of food production down the line. And it doesn't just mean that corn is more expensive. It means your cereal is more expensive. Cattle prices have crashed or come down at least a little bit because farmers and ranchers can no longer pay to raise their cattle. They can't feed them, and so they are sending them to the slaughterhouses. So there is just a huge volume of beef coming down the line now. That means at Christmas, when you really want to have a big, beautiful prime roast of beef, you're going to pay a whole lot more for it. Cereal going up in price. You're going to see what we use to feed hogs, right? Corn. So there's just a whole lot of interaction that happens from the idea that we're not producing enough corn or enough soybeans. And it isn't just because of what's happening in the U.S. this year with our weather. There's wacky weather in Brazil where they're getting too much rain. Stuff's getting rained out. Russia is seeing unusual weather. So there's just, you know, a lot of everybody's now moving and looking and trying to decide, you know, what are they going to do? I guess last month, Mexico's private dealers placed their largest order for U.S. corn in history. So they don't want their people to go hungry. When you start having people get very, very worried about their food supply, it's not a good situation. And so I look at it like, well, what's my food bill going to change? How's that going to be different? And how's that going to be different for you? Well, last night, Sam went to Costco. And we haven't literally had food in our refrigerators now for the last 8 weeks. The boys, Alex and Michael, have both been away for the summer. Michael comes home this afternoon. Alex gets home in another week. And Sam looked at me and he said, we literally have nothing. We have, you know, an eighth of a gallon of milk. We have no cottage cheese. We have no yogurt. We have no butter. There's no fruit. There's nothing. There's a watermelon that's been sitting in our refrigerator probably for the last 10 weeks that we probably should throw away, which makes room for a whole lot of other stuff. With people coming for dinner tonight to celebrate Michael coming home from the summer, and there's nothing for anybody to eat. So he goes off to Costco with a long list of things, and he comes back and he said, I bought eggs. Now, when Sam buys eggs, he buys them in the box at Costco that holds like 72 eggs. And usually that runs about $7 or $8 for the whole thing. It was over $12 yesterday. Have you noticed milk has gone up nearly a buck at Costco? Yet meat, he bought some steaks, and meat was like $10 a pound for prime. I said to Sam, you should have bought like enough for the whole winter. And we could have, you know, like when you go out, you go hunting and, you know, you get a big moose or I don't know what they get, deer or something. And you come home and it's like food for 3 years. I said, you should have like thought about that. You know, we could have just bought cheap and then, you know, had steak all winter. But I know what's going to happen here. And for many of our listeners, you know, for many of you, you know, just the fact that gas prices have now gone close to or over the $4 a gallon mark is pushing your budgets again. I got emails this week from three or four people after my show on Sunday, and they said, we are absolutely thinking that we're going to have to file for bankruptcy pretty darn soon if gas prices keep going up. Do you understand how tight it is out here? And the answer is I do understand. And one of the reasons why I wanted to talk to you about this today is that these are very scary times. When you think about putting food on the table and then it might cost you an extra $20 a week and gas prices are going up and they might cost you an extra $20 or $30 a week, you start talking about $40 or $50 a week extra, $200 a month or $300 a month extra. You're talking about real money. And that just may not be affordable. And what I want you to do is think now about what this might cost you and how you're going to plan for it. Because the last thing I want to have happen is for it to sneak up on you. You know, we know that it's been a really hot, dry summer. We know because the weather's been great. But it's almost been too much. It's too hot. It's too much sun. And now we're starting to see that there's just this long ripple effect that goes into the price that ultimately you're going to pay at the grocery store. Now, I know that there will be things that you'll be able to do when we get close to Thanksgiving, and stores are going to undercut the price of the turkey, and they're going to charge you more for the other things, and with some careful planning and shopping, you're going to be able to make it work. But I want you to think about the fact that this could be the most expensive holiday season that you have, that entertaining is going to become more difficult. You're going to want to set aside money for it because this kind of change in the cost of food, of everyday food, affects everything. 404-872-0750 is our number here at the Clark Howard Show. So happy to have you on board today, taking your calls about money, saving, what we can do to spend a little less, save a little more, avoid getting ripped off. There are some really interesting numbers we're going to talk about a little later on the show. Home prices are going up a little bit. Yes, even in parts of Atlanta, the new numbers that came out this week looked really, really positive for the first time in a long, long, long time. So there's some good news to report, but I don't want you to get too excited because we're not quite out of the woods yet. But I, you know, listen, this is an industry, real estate, my industry is so starved for good news that any good news that we get is almost a cause for celebration. So we'll talk a little bit about that. One area that I do want to talk about to you, as well is mortgage interest rates. Those went up a little bit this week. They're still at 60-year lows, or very close to that, which makes it an amazing time for you to refinance if you haven't done that. So happy to take your calls on that as well, and we'll talk a little bit more about my four rules for a home run refinance. I want you to refinance, but I want you to be able to do it in a way that makes total sense. And it's not going to work. A home run is not going to work for everybody. In fact, the latest numbers that have come out show that a full third of all people who are refinancing right now are underwater and only able to refinance through the HARP program, the Home Affordable Refinance Program. So I want to talk to you a little bit about what makes a home run refinance, what makes it work for you, and what you can do to make it work best in whatever way, shape, or form you're able to do that. So very, very important to think about. So we'll talk about that a little bit later on the show as well. And then I want to make sure that you fully appreciate what's going on with the opportunity to invest in real estate. And so I've got some rules for that as well that are going on. But if you want to talk about food and what's going on with pricing, 404-872-0750. That's on the agenda for today. Monica joins us on the line. Hey, Monica, welcome to the Clark Howard Show.
Hi, thanks. How are you?
You know, it's all good today. What about you?
Same thing. The weather's beautiful. We had some great rain yesterday. We planted some grass seed. It's weird to hear about this drought situation because the weather's been perfect here. We kind of live in a strange area where it's always opposite of everywhere else. But Northeast Georgia we've had a great growing season, and it's a great time for people to start looking at local. Like, I have a friend that sells chickens, and it's like $2 a pound for her chickens. And we have lots of farmers that do the cattle schools. They raise the food around here. It's a great time for people to start thinking about buying local, and I mean really local, like farmers markets. My friend has got chickens. She's got more eggs than she knows what to do with.
She should send some to Costco.
I know.
They're clearly running a little short.
Golly. You know, they really need to start talking about these people. They take what's called a candler's class, which to me sounds like you're making candles, but it's something about eggs. And there are people up here that make tons of eggs. And actually, I had a friend that they have chicken houses, and there's certain eggs that they're required to throw away. And to me, it's just amazing that that's allowed to happen.
Well,
the waste is unbelievable.
The waste is unbelievable.
It would be for dog food.
It would be great to be able to use those small, outsized, brown spotted eggs or whatever it is, the reason that's not
right,
to be able to reuse that. I want to talk about local food for just a moment. I'm a big proponent of the slow food movement, and I love it. The problem is when you live sort of above the midpoint line in this country, you know, in Chicago, where I'm from, really hard to, you know, have any sort of local food at all 6 months of the year.
That's
so
true.
It's really, you know, we need food from other places. And when you look out, and because North Georgia is a little bit of a bubble that way, because you've been very lucky this year, but you can think about other years where the weather hasn't been so good. I remember, because I've been on the station 15 years, I remember years where hurricanes have come through and basically pummeled the growing season with 15 and 20 inches of rain. And it hasn't been as good. You've had a good year this year. The problem is that the breadbasket for the country is burnt. And
right,
unfortunately, there are things that you get, that you buy, cereal or, you know, the gas that's used to truck things around, or pig food, that does depend on that breadbasket. And so when the breadbasket goes dry, it really affects just so much. But you're right. I mean, local food is great. There's a restaurant. Are you a fan of Mexican food?
I am.
So Rick Bayless, who just won, I think last year, the James Beard Award for Best Restaurant and Best Chef, you know, he's all about Mexican and his food. He does a PBS series on Mexico called One Plate at a Time, and he's done some other things. So in his restaurant in Chicago, he has a flat roof, and he basically turned it into a garden for
yes,
the summer. And so he is growing, can you imagine how many chilies and tomatoes and, you know, basil and all the herbs that he needs to make salsa for his restaurants? Almost 100% of it in the summer comes from his roof upstairs, which he said he's very, very proud of. So that kind of movement, I think, offers just so much to everybody. And certainly, if you can't get it year-round, you know, sort of north of the midpoint of the country, at least in the summer, you can take advantage. And it sounds like you are. But I love the idea of paying $2 a pound for homegrown, local, you know, free-range chickens. More power to you, Monica. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glink. Be right back with more on News Talk WSB.
This is Clark. I'm not here today, but you're still getting money-saving info from money expert and author Elise Glink on News Talk WSB.
26 minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show. I'm Elise Glink, sitting in today on News Talk WSB. Thanks for joining us. Our number, 404-872-0750. Looks like we have a lot of real estate questions. I know this is a huge surprise for everybody on this show. Allison joins us on the line from Atlanta. So, Allison, you have a question about refinancing your rental property?
Yes, ma'am, I do. Thank you. I'm going to give you a little bit of background, and then you just ask me what other information you need to know.
All right, that works for me.
Okay. We purchased a new home in November, and we still own the starter home that we started off in, and we're in for 10 years. We tried to refinance it at the time and put it into a conventional, but it only appraised, unfortunately, about $40,000 less than it did 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it only appraised for what we owe on it, so we had to stick with the FHA. We did not refinance, and we bought the new home with the conventional loan.
Okay.
Can you tell me any other options I could look into? We have it rented, but we have to put a lot of money with it every month to make the mortgage.
Yeah, you can't. You're not going to be able to refinance it with no equity in a rental.
Okay.
So if you had 20% equity, maybe. If you had 35% equity, tons. So if you want to come to the table, now that you've just bought a new house, you probably can't do this, but if you would come to the table, and it's just really bad timing, really, because if you come to the table now, you'd really need a chunk of change. If you were living in the house right now and tried to do a HARP refinance, you might qualify and get it lowered. But what is the interest rate you're at right now?
It is at 5.5.
So the sort of good news is that even if you were able to refinance, you wouldn't get much of a break right now.
Okay.
So a rental property probably wouldn't get much better than a 5% rate, and that is if you were, like, incredibly, incredibly lucky. Maybe it would be, you know, 4.875. So the difference really wouldn't be that much. But that's just like a silver lining on a really black cloud, because now, how are you going to afford this payment, and how are you going to afford this in the long run? And those questions are the questions that you're going to need to ask yourselves. I don't have any solutions for you for refinancing with zero equity in a rental, but that doesn't mean some program might not come up in the next 6 months, so stay tuned for more information. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Link. Be right back with more on News Talk WSB.
Clark Howard on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Welcome back. I'm Elise Blank, sitting in for Clark today. Thanks for joining me here on AM 750, now 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB. Our number, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I'm online all the time, and if you're not following me on Twitter, you've already missed like 5 tweets since the show started. So follow me there, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. I just tweeted out this really cool Wall Street Journal story this afternoon, the real-time economics blog, which I like very much, of the drought effect on consumer food prices. And it's really interesting. They just put it up, and already 17 people have commented on it. And as we started the show, I talked about how I think food prices are going to go up dramatically. So the Wall Street Journal blog said, we did the math, and Americans on average will spend only $32.76 on food next year, that they would have more than they would have if the drought had not occurred. And they figure that comes to $2.73 a month. The lowest fifth of earners will spend an extra $17, and the highest earners will spend $54. And then they say, to be sure, these figures aren't precise. They're based on food consumption numbers published by the Labor Department for 2010, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I just spent an extra $7 buying eggs at Costco. That doesn't include the heightened price of milk. It doesn't include all the other stuff that's going into it. I don't know where these numbers come from, and maybe they do come from the Agriculture Department, but I don't know what was going on in 2010, and I don't know why I'm so different, other than I have 2 teenage boys I'm feeding, which is never anything but normal. But other people have this as well. I just think, just based on this one little thing of eggs being almost, you know, 40% higher in prices, yeah, maybe I'm only going to pay an extra 12 cents for my cereal, but eggs are a big deal in our house, as I'm sure they are in yours, and it's not going to be just $32 a year more than I'm spending because of the drought. It's just not going to happen. I mean, maybe it's $32 a month, but I just think it's going to be more than that. And let's wait to see what happens with beef prices a little later on this year. 404-872-0750. Okay, 38 minutes past the hour. Let's go back to real estate. Harvey joins us on the line from Lawrenceville. So, Harvey, do you also have a refinancing question?
Yeah, I do. I refied my house about 3 years ago at 4 7/8, which at the time I thought was great. But I closed on June the 1st of 2009.
Ooh.
And apparently I can't qualify for the HARP program, even though I'm upside down right now, because the cutoff date is May 31st.
That's right.
2009.
Mm-hmm.
Whoopee for me. Anyhow.
It's really all about timing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I'd like to get in on some of these rates that are available now. What I'm looking at is, aside from my emergency fund, I've got some savings that are earning anywhere from 0 to 0.35 to 0.8% annually. And I can get my mortgage down by 2 points or more if I use those savings to pay down the balance to where I'm at 95% of my appraisal.
Okay.
And I'm just wondering, would that be a reasonable thing to do?
Well, you know, here's the problem with doing that. And let me just step back and say, are you having trouble making your mortgage payment?
No.
Do you anticipate having trouble making your mortgage payment?
No.
Will the money that you use evaporate all of your savings? Is everything you use going to basically wipe out your cash?
No, it would take probably about 80% of my extra that I've set aside, but I do still have my emergency fund.
Okay. And how big is that? How much will that cover over what period of time?
I'm not sure what that question is.
Well, that means, so for example, do you have 6 months of expenses put aside? 9 months? A year?
I've got 8 months.
8 months. Okay. Here's the problem, Harvey. Mm-hmm. If you refinance at 95%, they're going to tack on mortgage insurance, private mortgage insurance.
Yeah, I've got that now.
And private mortgage insurance has gotten much more expensive since 3 years ago when you refinanced.
Oh, has it?
It has. Yeah. And that's because a lot of the PMI companies went out of business, and they all took huge multi-billion dollar hits, and they want theirs. So you can go, and maybe you can get down to 2 7/8 for what, a 10-year loan that you're going to pay off?
15.
Okay. You might be able to get there, and I love that you're shrinking the loan term, if that's what you're doing, because
yep,
that's great. But you have to factor in what the actual cost of the PMI will be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you can do that, and the PMI will still, you'll be paying the same or less, and now you've shrunk this down to a 15-year,
yeah,
I'm good with it. But I get worried. I know you have the emergency fund, and you've used up, you know, you've used up a lot of your extra cash. You're not,
yep,
making any money on the cash, but you have to look out and say, let me look at worst case scenarios. I lose my job. My spouse loses her job if she has one. If you're married, I don't know if you are. We have to move for a job, or we have somebody get sick. You know, you have to look at worst case scenarios in your life and make sure you're going to be okay.
Okay, if I talk to the credit union that I'm interested in, could they give me an idea what the PMI would be?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
And I would probably shop it around a little bit, and you have to tell them that you're bringing cash to the closing.
Uh-huh.
Because it's a little different with you bringing cash to the closing versus just actually having that equity already there. You're going to buy down the equity to a place where it's going to make more sense. It's a good loan for them because you're putting so much into it.
Yeah,
and
I have skin in the game.
You have so much skin in the game, exactly. But that said, they'll still want to do a deep dive into your finances. So make sure there aren't any weird little blips. Like I just heard last week about somebody who got turned down for a loan. They make well into the six figures. They actually had about 10% equity in the house, but they had a little, like, side investment in a nephew's business that had a $1,500 loss, and the bank turned them down because they said next year the loss could be $20,000. And they said, it can't be. The guy doesn't even make $20,000. And they said, nope, we don't know. It's an unknown. We don't know how to justify it. We can't do the loan. And so a week before the refi, he had to start all over again. So I just want you to do a deep dive yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So that you don't get to that closing table or a week before and find out, no, I'm sorry, Harvey, we can't help you.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you.
You're very welcome. Have a great afternoon. 44 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Mark joins us on the line. Hey, Mark.
Hi, how are you?
Things are good. So your question is about refinancing as well.
Yeah, I guess the previous caller may have you kind of addressed it a little bit, but I bought my house in 2007, right before the bubble burst, and it's a pretty big house, and now, of course, it's not worth as much.
How much has it gone down in value?
Well, I bought it over $800,000, and the houses selling beside me are selling for like $500 and change.
Ooh.
Yeah, and so...
Are you sleeping at night? I just got to ask you, because if I had lost $300,000, even if it was just on paper, I think I wouldn't be sleeping so well.
Yeah. Well, my rate is pretty high. I didn't know how I can take advantage of the rates now other than bringing us so much to the table.
The problem that you have is different from Harvey's problem.
Okay.
So you are a jumbo loan.
Yes.
And HARP is not set up to work for jumbos that I know of.
Right.
Now, maybe they are doing them if they're that much underwater, but I think they're limited to $417,000. And so if your mortgage is probably what, like $700,000-$800,000?
Yeah.
So you would have to bring, if it's, let's say, $700,000, almost $300,000 to the table.
Whoa.
So maybe you have that, but I don't have it.
No, I don't have that.
And that's really one of your problems. And, in fact, that may be your biggest problem. Now, maybe there is a lender out there that would figure out some other kind of a loan for you, but I just... And you could call around and talk to, maybe you have a big investment portfolio at Merrill Lynch or at Chase or something, and maybe they'll do a special loan for you. So maybe you've got other things like that hanging around that can be used as leverage or pledged. But it's not worth it. I know your payment's huge, and to go from 6.5% to 5% would be a savings every month that would be significant. But not if the cost is that you have to pledge a stock portfolio worth $500,000.
I see.
It's just too much. It's too risky that if something happened, you'd lose everything.
Okay.
Are you having trouble making your payments?
No, not at all. I actually pay a little bit more to bring down the principal.
Well, that's a good thing. The problem is that you're so far underwater. What's going on with the neighborhood? Is it just that people went into foreclosure around you, or there's just no demand?
There is no demand, and there is a couple that went into foreclosure.
Okay, and their house got purchased?
Yeah, almost a lot of them did. So, there were so many for sale signs up just a couple years ago, and they've all been bought up at a low price.
So it's just timed for you. Right?
Yeah.
Over time, and maybe for you because this neighborhood will recover a little faster, people bought those houses and now there are no more foreclosures there, maybe what will happen is that property prices will start to bounce back a little faster for you. And we did have some good news that home prices did rise a little bit. What was happening is that fewer foreclosures and distressed properties are being sold. And so the median home price rises because that's the midpoint. So the same number sell below that price is above. If you have fewer low-priced homes selling, the median price goes up. So maybe that's what's going to happen in your neighborhood. And over the next year or two, hopefully you can hang in there and you don't need to move before this, you could see a more significant price jump. Maybe instead of $500,000, the next one will sell for $600,000 or $6.25 million.
I've seen that.
So it could be getting closer to where you're going to be. You wouldn't need $300,000 or $400,000 to buy it down to refinance. Maybe you would only need a couple $100,000, but that's still not a great scenario. I'm not painting a pretty picture for you. I'm really sorry about that.
That's okay. All right. Well, I appreciate the call. Answer.
You're very welcome, Mark. Keep listening, and if I hear of anything for jumbo home sellers, I will for sure let you know. 48 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Charo joins us on the line from Douglasville. So, Charo, what's your question about a hybrid loan?
Yes, ma'am. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm listening.
Okay. It's a loan that is offered to the, the military.
Mm-hmm.
In, we got offered a loan at 2.75.
Okay.
I mean, the interest rate 2.75. And I just want to know if we did the right thing.
Well, so is the loan sort of fixed at 2.75 for a few years and then it starts to move up a little bit?
Yeah.
And at 5 years, it gets to what interest rate?
It depends. They said it depends on the Federal Reserve. So it can go as low as 2% or as high as 7%.
So I don't like the idea of it going as high as 7%, but I think you made a smart move. So this loan is usually fixed for a certain period of time, like 5 years, and then it turns into a one-year adjustable rate mortgage?
Yes, ma'am.
And that's when it can float up. And I would say to you that right now, in the next 5 years, you're in great shape. And then it can only usually go up 1% a year. And for it to get to 7%, you'd have to have interest rates pretty much skyrocket, which I don't think is going to happen over the next few years. So you're probably safe for 7 to 10 years. And then hopefully, at some point in time, you're going to sell that house and move somewhere else, and this loan will go away. But even if the worst-case scenario happens and you're at 7%, you're still going to feel pretty good because everybody else will be paying 10 or 12%, and I just don't see that happening. So, Charo, I think it's a good move, and I'm glad you did it. 404-872-0750. It is 150. I'm Elise Glang. Stay tuned for more on News Talk WSB.
This is Clark. I'm not here today, but you're still getting money-saving info from money expert and author Elise Glink on News Talk WSB.
56 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glink sitting in for Clark. Again, having great, great conversations on Twitter. I am at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. You're missing half the conversation if you're not on Twitter while we do the show. So having a conversation right now with K8 and a few other people about whether home food prices are going to go up and how dramatically simply because of the drought. So if you want to join us at Glink on Twitter. 404-872-0750. Clive joins us on the line all the way from New Mexico. You have a question about your nephews, Clive?
Yeah, I do. I'm an uncle, and I was kind of worried about their future investing. And
you think your siblings aren't doing, your brother or sister is not doing a good job with teaching the basics?
Well, he's probably showed them the example not to follow.
You know, sometimes that's very helpful. It's always good to have a wall to bounce off of.
Yeah. So I started a savings account for them when they were like 10, and I stick $100 in there for Christmas and birthdays. And he started doing a like $2 every paycheck went into both accounts. And we have like $1,500 now.
Wow.
And we're still only about 15 and 17.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So
do you have you had conversations with them about this money? Do they know about it?
We kind of do at Christmas time when I take them out to lunch or something. We'll talk about it. And I talk about, well, it's money for the future, and they don't quite get that, but because they want to buy the newest, latest computer or something, or phone.
Right.
So anyways, I talk about, you know, buying houses, or not so much buying a new car or something, you know, when you're 18, but kind of like looking at future things. And I'm not sure if they're getting it, but they are listening, so that's I think that's a big part of it.
Well, I think having them listen to you is the biggest gift that you can give them. And taking those accounts and showing them what you can do and start to introduce them to the concept of mutual funds and what they are and try to get them engaged with some online information, maybe that you could introduce them to Mint and get them to start putting some of their information on Mint, working with them year in and year out, showing them a better example than your poor brother has done, is a way for them to understand that they have control over their future investing life, and they can make positive choices that will pay off in the long run. So kudos to you, Clive, for doing that. The next step, get them more involved, charge the conversation, and let them understand about personal responsibility, accountability, and productivity, and they're going to just do great. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glenk. Stay tuned. Be back with more on News Talk WSB.
This is Clark Howard on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
It's 2:07 this afternoon on the Clark Howard Show. I'm Elise Glenk. Thanks for joining me today here on News Talk WSB. Another really big week, Big week in the stock market. Stocks are down about 11 points right now, but, I mean, the Dow is at 13,153. I mean, that is just an incredible number. Not bad at all, actually, for where we've been. But we've heard, we were talking last hour about the government slashing its expectations for the corn and soybean production. For the second consecutive month, we could have the lowest average corn yield in 15 years, thanks to the worst drought in decades. It has been the hottest summer I can ever remember, and most of the country, the breadbasket is burnt. But there are all kinds of things going on in the world of mortgages. Today, the CFPB talked about new mortgage rules that they're putting into effect. They proposed rules today that would take effect in January if enacted. And the provisions cover the mortgage industry, and they set standards for services. And basically, the director, Richard Cordray, told a press conference that the proposed rules would help consumers know exactly where they stand. Which is great to know where you stand. It would be better if you actually knew what was going on with your mortgage, and even better if you could get the banks to respond back to you. But this is just sort of where things are going. But in other kinds of news, that you know, we saw this week also, mortgage interest rates ticked up just a little bit. They're now sitting just over a 60-year low. If you haven't refinanced, if you haven't tried to refinance, you are missing out. Now, I understand not everyone is going to be able to do that. Not everyone is going to be able to take advantage of these low rates. I've been, you know, online with Twitter, and again, this has been a great day for Twitter interaction, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. I've heard from people, a guy named Hugh, who's been a frequent chatter for a long time with me, said he's stuck with a 6% mortgage on a rental property. He can't refinance. A couple of other people are trying to refinance, worried that they're too far underwater. They don't have enough cash on hand. There are all sorts of reasons why you may not be able to take advantage of these incredibly low interest rates. But if you don't try, you're never going to know. If you're waiting for interest rates to go down further, you got to jump off the fence and get moving here, because mortgage interest rates cannot go much lower than where they are. It is a complete impossibility for them to go any lower. We're talking microns of being able to go lower. And yes, I know the Fed just announced it's going to be buying more bonds and mortgage-backed securities and all the rest, but there's physically not that much room for it to go, right? Banks came out yesterday. Banks are making a fortune. They're just charging a little bit more for mortgages, right? Because mortgage interest rates are so low that we think, oh, 3.75%. I mean, fabulous. Or 3.5% or 3.43%. But banks take a margin. And so if the margin is 3%, there's no way that you can get interest rates below that level for a 30-year fixed. Or if the margin's 2.5%, right, even if the government gives banks money, they don't charge anything, 0%, the bank is still going to charge 2.75% to you, which means that those interest rates can't go down much further than they already are. So I want you to take stock. I want you to think about where you are, what your balance sheet looks like, and whether you can take advantage of this, because this might be the last refinancing you ever do. I feel pretty good about it. I have a 15-year at a 3.25. It's not worth my time to refinance for the extra quarter point. It's not worth the money. So I'm pretty much at the last refinance I'm ever going to do. Now, I guess if mortgage interest rates get down to 2.5 for a 15-year or 2.25, I'm going to think about it again. But I want you to be in that position. So here are my rules, my four rules for a home run refinance. Number one, can you lower the interest rate? Can you lower the interest rate? If you can, it might be a good refinance. Maybe not. Second base, can you lower your payment? For a lot of people, lowering the payment is going to be more important than any of the four rules, any of the other three. Because lowering the payment is what you need to survive. And if you need to do that, even if it's a higher interest rate, even if it's a longer loan term, that is going to be the right move for you. Lowering your payment may be the most important thing. But if you can lower the interest rate and lower the payment, and number three, here's my biggie, rounding third base, shortening your loan term. This is where the huge savings comes in. Huge. Because if you can go from 23 years that's left on your loan, which meant that you got it 7 years ago, and you can go down to a 15-year, or if you can do a 15-year and you have 14 years left and you can shave to 10 years, or better yet, you can go from 29 years to 10 years, you're saving tens of thousands of dollars. Tens of thousands of dollars. And that just goes right into your pocket. That's the big bucks. So, lower your interest rate, lower your payment, shorten your loan term. Those are the first three. And the fourth one is closing costs. Because you have to manage this last one. And my rule of thumb is you got to pay it all off with your savings in a year or less. Now, I just had somebody tweet me online at Glink, at GLINK. They were offered a zero-cost refinance, no closing costs. Is that a good idea? And that could be a great idea. And you may trade a slightly higher interest rate, so maybe you'll pay 3.25%, zero costs, instead of 3%. Is that a good deal on a 30-year loan? You betcha. Is that a good deal for a 15-year loan? Yeah. It all works together. So zero closing costs means you're going to pay something somewhere, but if you're saving from day one, you're truly saving money. It's the easiest one to recognize. So lowering the interest rate, that's good for water cooler. If it doesn't do anything else for you, take a pass. Number two, lowering your monthly payment. Could be the biggest part of it. Could be the most important thing you do. Number three, shortening your loan term. This is where the big, huge savings kick in. And the fourth one, managing the closing costs. And I'll just throw in there as part of closing costs, thinking about private mortgage insurance. We've already had this conversation today about private mortgage insurance getting more expensive. You got to pay for it if you don't have 20% equity in the house. You got to factor in the cost of PMI, because it could negate the lower interest rate. It could mean you're not really saving on your monthly payment. It could mean the difference between being able to shorten the loan term and not. So PMI and closing costs, two really important pieces of this. Those are the four rules for a home run refinance. 404-872-0750. Barney joins us on the line. Barney, you've got a question about a HARP loan?
Yeah. Thank you for taking my call, Elise. My situation is that in my primary residence right now, I'm paying an interest rate of 5.5, and I've got 21 years left on it, and I don't have any PMI that I'm paying.
Mm-hmm.
But I got a notice from a mortgage company saying that I qualified for the HARP. But the only thing is they're only giving me two choices. I could either take out a refinance at 4.125 for the remaining 21 years that I've got on the loan, or at that same rate for 30 years. Go ahead and finance it for 30 years. Refinance for 30 years.
What are they going to charge you to refinance?
Now, here's the thing. They're not going to charge me any closing costs. There's not going to be any appraisal. And The other thing that really works to my advantage is when I first bought the house, I was working, but now I'm retired. And, of course, my income is lower. But they're even saying that the only thing I have to do is just prove a source of income, which I get a small pension, and that's it. And it sounds good because I think it fits most of the rules that you just laid out there, except I think for that maybe for one.
Well, no, it does. Well, because you're not shortening the loan term, but you can do that on your own.
Uh-huh.
If you wanted to, if you kept making the same payment you're paying now, and you go to the 4.125% and you just keep paying what you've been paying,
yeah,
your loan will shorten naturally to probably a 15-year, maybe even less.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
But I would say to you, three of the rules, that's pretty great. No closing costs, you're lowering the interest rate, your payment is going to go down.
That's right.
As long as you qualify, I think that's terrific. And the only thing I would say to you, so that everybody else can hear this as well and listen in, you don't have to only go with that your lender for a HARP refinance. You can go anywhere. You can shop it around and see if anybody else will offer you anything better. They may offer you 4% or 3.9%. They may charge you a little bit on the closing cost, but now you're at 3.75%. So, or you, this may be the best deal going, and you may say to yourself, I've called four other lenders. Nobody can come close. I'm doing this deal. Which gets me to the point I love to make, which is that until you shop around, you don't know how good you've got it.
I see. One other quick question. If I decide to go with it, one of the things that's really tempting is that it's with my current mortgage lender, and it'd be so easy. You know, it's kind of almost over the phone.
Sure.
But the thing is, if I decide to go with them, should I do the remaining 21-year refinance or just go ahead and do the 30-year refinance, which would lower my monthly payment even greater?
Do you have trouble making your payments?
No.
Are you going to have trouble making your payments?
No, I've never been late.
So I think you go with the 21 years and you get this thing paid off.
Okay.
And the reason I say the 21 years is that you're going to start entering the period of time where you're really paying down equity. And I would hate for you to repay the first 9 years of interest, because over the long run, that's going to cost you so much more. You're not going to really save any money whatsoever. You're just saving on the payments, but now you've indebted yourself another 9 years. So I would much prefer that you would go with the 21 years and just continue to make these payments. It'll be less. You're going to save yourself almost 1.5%. It's less money out of your pocket, and you have the opportunity to pay it off even sooner. And I would think that since you're in retirement, this would be a good thing to get rid of this loan as quickly as possible. 404-872-0750. It is 220. I'm Elise Klink. Stay tuned. I'll be back with more on News Talk WSB.
This is Clark. I'm not here today, but you're still getting money-saving info from money expert and author Elise Klink on News Talk WSB.
56 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Klink, sitting in for Clark. Pam joins us on the line from Smyrna. Hey, Pam.
Hi.
What's your question?
Well, I have a very similar situation regarding the former caller that you just had, and that I'm going to the HARP program. However, my husband was laid off.
Ooh, is he the sole breadwinner?
No, I have a job as well, and he's been out of work about 3 months now, and we've...
How are you guys doing with that?
Well, we're not... we've been okay, but we're just now starting to face the hard times, and that we're going to start running out of money.
Ooh, I am so sorry to hear that. What are you doing to keep the lights on?
Well, of course, I have my job, and that helps quite a bit. But the issue is that now I don't think I can move forward with the HARP because I can't say for certain that I can continue to make my payments. So it's probably going to make me now ineligible. and I'm about $40,000 underwater on my house. So what I don't know what to do is, do I try to make a deal and short sale the house? Do I just give it back to the bank, walk away? To make matters worse, I have a second mortgage on it, and I owe about $28,000 on that.
That is not a good situation.
No.
To sort of undersell that.
Right.
I'm most concerned about you and your husband together, because this, you know, you're now 3 months in, and most people are 6 months out of work, 6 months to a year out of work, who get laid off and they don't get a job right away. How are his prospects?
Well, he's had many, many interviews. Competition is fierce, and but he is doing the best that he can. He has had outsourcing help from his former employer, so he's gotten coaching and took advantage of those programs. His resume was professionally reviewed, and so, I mean, he's done all that he can.
He's doing what he can.
Right.
Pam, I want to take a little bit of extra time with you, and I want to talk this through a little bit more. Can you hang with us through the news?
Absolutely.
All right. You hang on. Don't go anywhere, because there are so many lessons in what you're going through that I think everybody will benefit from, and I want to make sure that I can give you my full attention and we can try and give you a path to follow. It's 29 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Gling. Stay tuned. We'll be back with Pam and some answers next on News Talk WSB.
Clark Howard on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
It's 2:36 on the Clark Howard Show. I'm Elise Gling, sitting in for Clark today. Our number, 404-872-0750, online all the time. My website, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. Sign up for the free weekly newsletter. It is right at the top of the homepage in the light blue corner, upper right. Sign up and get access to all the different content we produce. I mean, dozens and dozens of stories each month, all about money and real estate, personal finance, the Equifax Finance blog. There are so many hidden gems of content that are going to change your life and how you think about money and how you spend it. That's what we're trying to do. Every day, if I can help you make a smarter decision with your money, it's a huge win for me. So help me do it. You can follow me on Twitter at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. Go online, sign up for the free weekly newsletter, visit the Equifax Finance blog. We're now contributing to Yahoo, CBS News, Money Watch, all over the place, all kinds of great content that will help you make smarter decisions. All right, we were on the phone with Pam, and I wanted to give Pam some extra time because I think there's so much going on in your life, Pam, that speaks to the larger issues that people are still facing. You know, every time I go on my show on Sundays, I talk about how there's so many people still facing hard times. You said your husband got laid off 3 months ago, and he's doing everything right. You know, he's getting the outsourced help. He's looking for a job. But it's 3 months. He could be out of work another 3 to 6 months, and times are getting tight. Money's getting tight, and you're underwater with your house. And so trying to figure out a solution for you and one that everybody can have some sort of takeaway from is really what I'd like to try and do. So let's start with your HARP refinance. Is your income enough to technically qualify for it?
Yes.
Okay. And what will that do for your payments? What are you paying now each month, and what will the HARP refinance do for you?
I'm at 15. And it'll shave off about, I'd say, maybe $200 a month.
Okay. That sounds like a really good thing, right? You're going to save $200 a month. What is the hesitation? Why are you stuck about whether to do it or not do it?
Because we were in the middle of the process, and at the time, you know, I was confident, you know, no problems paying my mortgage. And when my husband got laid off, that totally changed our financial situation. And I have not informed them yet of my husband's layoff. And I just don't, I feel almost like I'll be committing fraud if I tell them I can afford something when I know I'm about to hit a major wall.
Well, let's examine that, because if, will $200 a month change whether you hit the wall? Because if you, if your income doesn't qualify on its own, I know you said it did, but have you actually run the numbers where it would qualify?
Yes.
Okay.
The mortgage is in my name and is based on my income. However, that works for us when my husband's working.
Right. Well, so shaving $200 a month off is going to make a big difference either way.
Right.
So I think you do the HARP refinance. Now, you still have your job. Paying less is only going to make things better.
Right.
So do the refinance, and let's start there. What does $200 a month buy you in terms of time until you hit the wall?
I'm not sure how it's really going to be of a great help, and I almost feel as if I am just going to get myself deeper, because with the HARP program that they're offering, I feel like I'm getting more into debt because they're wrapping the closing costs and some other fees back into the loan. So I feel like I'm just adding or compounding too.
But there's a okay, so when I gave my four rules for a refinance, you know, what I said is lowering the payment may trump everything else.
Right.
We're trying to fix a short-term problem. If you end up not doing the HARP refinance and you lose your house, but doing the HARP refinance helps you keep your house, at that basic level, where do you choose?
Exactly.
You got to choose to keep your house. You want to keep as much intact as you can, because I know and you know your husband's not going to be unemployed forever.
Right.
So we have to get you to a place where you and he can survive another 3 months. Right?
Exactly.
So that he gets a loan, he gets a job. And
right.
So let's say you do the HARP refinance, and then let's say 2 months from now you hit a wall. You miss a payment, or you're late on a payment. You still have your house. You're not going to lose your house instantly.
Okay.
So this, we are trying now, we are putting Band-Aids on a really horrible situation. All I'm trying to do is get you to a place where you know you'll be okay while he gets a job. So
right.
I assume he's getting some unemployment.
Yes.
And that will continue for a while, right? So that plus the $200 a month, and you guys maybe survive 3, 4, 5 months?
I think we could make it that far.
Good.
I think we can squeak it out. We're on the Dave Ramsey diet, rice and beans, and beans and rice. So
you can throw a little pasta in there. It's okay. Doesn't only have to be beans and rice. Listen, I have to give you a compliment. You are such a strong person. I can hear it in your voice. You are bound and determined to make this work. And I know that your heart has to be breaking, because this is never what anybody plans for. I mean, you plan in case there's a problem, but you hope to God it never happens and hits you in the face. And here you are, and you're making the best of it. And I want this to work for you. I want you to get yourselves through this patch, so that your husband finds a job and you guys get to pick up where you left off without huge collateral damage. Stopping making your payments and turning the house back over,
right.
It just means you're going to have to go pick up and move somewhere else. You're going to destroy
right.
the credit that you have. I don't want to see that happen until an absolute last case scenario.
Okay.
And you have a job, and this house is in your name, mm-hmm. and at the moment, it's going to be okay, and it's going to be $200 a month easier. And so they're not going to say to you, listen, can you make this payment? You've already been qualified to make
right.
this payment. You may not be able to make any other payments. But at least you're going to make these payments, and it's going to be $200 a month easier. And then it's time for your husband to step up and do whatever he can.
Exactly.
And if he says to you, honey, I found a job, but it's in Tallahassee, you guys are going to cross that bridge when you get to it.
Exactly.
But this, let's just take it one step at a time. I don't care if you have $10,000 in extra costs that are added onto the back of this loan if you're going to save $200 today.
Okay.
I don't care. And you shouldn't care either. All that matters is that you get to go month by month until he gets a job and you guys get to write your ship. That's it.
Okay.
All right?
That sounds like a plan. I think I see where you're coming from, and I think that's a good idea.
And I want to tell you something. I have nothing but respect for Dave Ramsey. I've met him several times. I think the world of him.
Yeah.
But he would not want you, he would not want your family, because he is all about family.
Right.
He would not want your family out on the street because you took on an extra $5,000 or $10,000 in debt at a time when you're going to save $200 a month. It's just, he would not say to you, that's the deal to take.
Okay.
Go out on the street to save the two, you know. It's not what he would do. And I'm telling you the same thing. It's okay sometimes to take what seems to be a long-term step in the wrong direction, to take a right step in the right direction at a time when you need it most today.
Okay. I think that's good advice, actually, and I never looked at it that way.
I want you to be confident that you are doing the very best you can for your family today, Pam.
Okay.
And I know that somebody who is as irrepressibly optimistic as you are, which I can hear in your voice, you're going to make this work for everybody. And it's a really tough time. I am not taking anything away from how tough it is and how little you probably sleep at night. And I know that you're probably not feeling great every day when you get up and you go to work thinking, I know what's waiting for me back at home. But you are doing an amazing job for your family. And I salute you and everybody else who's listening who's walking that mile that you're walking right now.
Thank you, Elise. I appreciate that.
Will you call me back and let me know what's going on?
I will.
All right. I want to know.
I will.
All right.
Thank you, Elise.
You're welcome, Pam. You take a deep breath and you go have a good weekend. 404-872-0750. It's 247. We should all be just like Pam. She has taken a situation. She's taken the bull by the horns. She was a little bit stuck. But I said it last week on my show, sometimes a step that's a lateral move, sometimes a step that may even seem like it's a backwards move, in the short term, any step that gets you unstuck is a good step. Get unstuck and start moving, and pretty soon you're going to realize you're moving in the right direction. And that's the key, moving in the right direction. 404-872-0750. Let's go back to the phone. Cheryl joins us on the line from Ashburn. Hi, Cheryl.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Got a question about refinancing, and I've got a bit of a sticky situation.
All right. Let's hear how stuck you are.
I just got married last year. My husband had a divorce about 3 years ago, and he got a great house at a foreclosure price, but he went and had to refinance when he got his divorce, so now we're in a $125,000 property, and we are, you know, still $102,000 mortgage, but the divorce wrecked his credit. He's the breadwinner. He's the person who has to refinance. But we could, at the rates they're at now, we're at 7%. We could cut our mortgage in half if we could find somebody to refinance us. I'm stuck, and I'm trying to rebuild with him.
So these are really tough times for lenders. And at 7%, you could do so much. Does he qualify for HARP?
I don't even know what that is.
So let me tell you, we've talked a lot about it today, the Home Affordable Refinance Program, where you can go online to makinghomeaffordable.gov, and if he qualifies, they don't do an appraisal on the property, and they don't pull your credit. They just lower the interest rate.
Really?
But if he refinanced after June 1st or after May 31st of 2009, he won't qualify. There's like a line in the sand that was drawn, so you have to find out exactly when he qualified.
Okay.
All right, so that's job number one. The second question is, does he have an FHA loan? I'm guessing probably not, but does he?
I don't think so.
FHA would be helpful here. What is his credit score looking like?
Just shy of 600.
So he's like in the upper fives?
Yes.
Okay.
Like 575 or something.
575? Okay.
Yes.
So there are there's two possibilities. One is that he might be able to get, and you might be able to get, an FHA loan if you actually have equity in the home. Even if you have a 550, although it would be much better if you were at a 620. So you have to shop around and see if you can find a lender. If not, there's a program called eCredible that Dave Ramsey also likes very much for people who have bad credit or no credit.
We're big on Dave Ramsey.
So he likes this program too, and I've been a part of it. If you go to eCredable, eCredable.com, you can join there, and then they work with Churchill Mortgage, which is in Dave Ramsey's hometown of Nashville, I think. But they lend all over in like 23 states, and Georgia is one of those states. And if you join that program, and you can use my name to get a discount, just type in Glink, G-L-I-N-K, and there is a cost to join. And there's all kinds of content and information. But if you join and you can get an A or a B on their system, which is different because it doesn't look at the traditional FICO score, Churchill Mortgage will give you a refinance, and it will be at less than 7%.
Oh, wow.
So you can try there as well. So you're looking, number one, you're looking for FHA and seeing if you can get it. And number two, you can try this other way of doing it at eCredable. And I would explore those two avenues, and I would work really hard in the next 6 months to get your regular credit up, if neither of those are options today, because they will be options going forward. So bad credit doesn't stay bad credit forever, but you have to work at it. But try eCredable.com/Glink. You can just put my name in. I sit on an advisory board for them. I've written all the content on the site. And see if that will help you get that interest rate down from 7%. Let me know what happens. It is 52 minutes past the hour. We're going to go to a quick break. I'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB.
This is Clark. I'm not here today, but you're still getting money-saving info from money expert and author Elise Glink on News Talk WSB.
It's 2:57 on the Clark Howard Show. I think Clark's coming back next week. I know that I will be back on the air Sunday for my regularly scheduled 11 to 1 show, and I hope that you're going to be there. Pretty soon we're going to start football hours at the end of the month, so at the moment we're 11 to 1. Hope you will join me on Sunday. In the meantime, don't forget to follow me on Twitter, @Glink, @GLINK. And then if you search on Twitter, you'll see this incredible stretch of conversations that we've had all day today, which has been actually pretty awesome. And one of the things that I just put out there is, would you like it if on thinklink.com we created a way to help you figure out who would be a great lender, appraiser, real estate broker, and all the rest to use? I'm thinking about adding a cool tool. Would love to hear your thoughts and feedback on what you'd like to see. at the new and improved thinklink.com, including a video minute that we're going to start doing pretty soon. So all kinds of stuff going on. Sign up for the free weekly newsletter at thinklink.com. Tweet me, let me know what's going on in your life, and don't forget to tune in on Sundays, 11 to 1, as we start the fun all over again. Have a great weekend, everybody. Talk to you on Sunday.